Because we live in a Puritan police state, we are obliged to inform you that we may sometimes use explicit language. Now that you've been informed, things are about to get weird.
Welcome to What I'd Heard Was. I am Jennifer.
And I'm Anna.
And I'm just so excited.
Apparently, I thought you were having another episode?
Another episode.
Wait, I mean, like, another health episode as opposed to, like, a podcast episode.
I'm having both, actually.
Oh. Wait, do we need to call somebody, or?
No.
Oh, okay, good. Great. So, today...
Yeah.
We're talking about video games!
Yes, we are.
I'm super excited. I've always loved playing video games. Way back in the day. But today, we have a self-proclaimed expert with us.
Excellent.
Alex Struve is here, and he is going to enlighten us all, because honestly, I know very little.
I only know about Animal Crossing.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, Alex, you want to say hi to the folks?
Hey there, everybody. Hope you're all having a fine day. But yeah, I'm the so-called video game expert, as friends have pushed me forward to be. I've been playing video games since I was a little kid. Ever since I popped out, had a video game console in my hands, so.
That must have been uncomfortable.
Your poor mother.
Oh, it was. She still hates me. But I've grown up and played lots of different games, lots of different consoles. I've actually got an extensive list that I have prepared about every console that I've owned, and you're probably going to be shocked about how many I have.
Awesome.
I'm already excited.
Yeah, so let's go from number one. I've got, I started with the NES. Then I moved on to the SNES. From there, I went to the N64, the PlayStation 1, the GameCube.
I was wondering about that. I was like, when are you going to diverge into a different, you know, you got the Nintendo and you got Sony.
Oh, yeah, trust me. I've got a little bit of every world growing up. I've had a little taste of everything.
Have you ever played the Atari?
The Atari? Oh, no, actually.
Oh, that,
I believe.
Frogger.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You can't say you've played them all, then.
I can't. I'm not actually a video game expert. That's it. I think that might be the end of the episode.
That's all right. I'll carry you. I played Frogger quite a bit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I promise I've played iterations of Frogger, so. But yeah, moving on from there, recently I even acquired an Oculus Quest, which is a virtual reality set.
Excellent. We were going to talk to you about virtual reality. Because
awesome.
This reality kind of sucks sometimes.
Oh, yeah, currently? Oh, yeah, no. 20... I'd rather be in virtual reality, huh?
2020, the dumpster fire. I would rather check out to virtual reality until sometime in January, late January.
I'm just waiting until they add life support to VR, and then I'm never leaving.
Mm, yeah.
Just so it'll be like the Matrix. You just plug in, and you're good to go.
Oh, I hope so. I want to become a superhero in VR, up until the point where I smash my headset into the wall and get rudely awakened.
Well, there's that. You know, we all got to wake up at some point, right?
Red pill or blue pill.
There you go.
So, out of all of your extensive systems, which one is your go-to? The one you're just like, you know what? I'm having a day. This is my junk food of...
It's fucking 2020.
Yeah.
I'd say that's probably the PC, just because that thing upgrades with me over time, and there's just so many different things to play on it. Plus, you know, it's the main source of information as to everything I learn about video games, so I don't ever actually have to move.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, that's where we played our first video games, in the basement on our dad's old Apple.
Yeah.
Apple
What were
2E?
You guys' first video games?
Oh, yeah, no, we played Pong.
Pong. Yeah.
Yeah, we're that old. We played Pong, we played, there was this game, Sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
That we used to play that was four. It was it ran off of an actual, you know, 5.5-inch floppy disk.
Oh goodness!
Yeah, you had to type in a code, a couple, you know, like actual code lines to get it started, kind of a thing.
That oh goodness translates into, oh fuck, you bitches are old.
No. You gotta enjoy the classics, and you know, entering code to start a video game sounds like a hell of a time.
We actually went to arcades,
yep.
Popped in the quarters, you know, so Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, all those kind of old school games.
I was in air hockey.
Yes.
Air hockey is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, air hockey and like pinball was is really great just because you get the actual physical tactile of it, which is one of the reasons why I wasn't initially very keen on video games. But then the video game manufacturers realized that, like, you want this actual tactile feeling, so they started adding like vibration and stuff into controllers, and I was hooked. I was totally hooked then.
Speaking of that, once we get on to the later consoles, I got things to talk about when it comes to the new PlayStation, the way their controllers work. Things are only getting crazier.
Do tell. How so?
So the way the new PlayStation 5, when that comes out, they've actually got these, I forget the exact term for it, but the way the controllers work is they've got an advanced rumble that apparently is so detailed that you can feel things slotting into place in the controller when you're slotting things into place in a video game.
How cool.
Like, say your character's holding a bag full of stuff. The controller will rumble and feel like it is a bag full of stuff.
What? That's fantastic.
Right? And when you press down the triggers, say your character is holding a bow and arrow, and you press down the right trigger, you'll actually feel the string, the tautness of the string, and it will become a little bit harder to press down the trigger based on what your character is doing in the game.
I don't even play video games, and I'm excited.
It's so cool. If you got somebody who gets a PS5 at some point, like, that's something you got to try.
I just have to think of, it makes me wonder what other uses that kind of tactile detail could be used for. You know, mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking of, like, blind people, you mm-hmm. know, or people with visual handicaps. Like, how can they then enjoy video games on a whole different level now because of this ability to have that sensory
right
interaction.
And it's actually funny because before the PlayStation 5, the Switch kind of had the same thing going on with their Joy-Con controllers.
Uh-huh.
They had HD rumbles, what they call it. And you could actually, if you were holding the controller and actually moving around in your hand, they had tech demos where, like, an ice cube was sliding around in the glass. And you could feel when the ice cube hits the other end of the glass, and you can feel it when it slides back and forth, and you can hear it, and that sort of rumble. So even somebody who couldn't see would be able to hold the controller and sort of play with this little ice cube in a glass type thing.
That's super sweet.
Yeah.
It reminds me of this one time I went to Disney World, and we were watching this 4D movie. You know, so it's like you're watching a movie, then you have 3D glasses on, so things are flying at you and stuff, right? But they have, you know, it's like if you ran underneath water, it, like, they missed you with water. Or if there was, like, I think it was, like, A Bug's Life or something. And so then these bugs are running through the audience. And so then all of a sudden something, like, hits you in the bottom of your seat. And you're like, ugh! And there's, like, a little bug that's like, excuse me, sorry, pardon me, coming through. You know, that kind of thing. All this stuff is coming into your house now, as opposed to having to go to a theater or go to an arcade to get into one of these, like, crazy-ass machines.
And even more so, it will be with COVID. You know, everybody's going to stick in their house and want...
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the day that we get a online virtual reality world where we can go out and say hello to our neighbors just by putting on the headset and going to say hello.
Well, isn't that that movie?
Yeah, what was that movie? I can't remember the name.
Player One?
Was it Player One?
Ready Player One. That's Ready what Player it was. One.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so... I mean, the movie's already doing those kind of things in Ready Player One, but it was a good movie.
Yeah.
And it was set in Ohio.
I was surprised at how much I liked it.
Yeah, and it may not be an entire virtual world type thing we have going on yet, but there is a game which is very popular with VR headsets called VR Chat. And what that is a big assortment of player-created rooms that you can go to. You put on whatever model you want to wear for the day, and you just hang out with people. And it's got directional voice chat, so it just feels like you're sitting there talking with people.
That's fantastic. It's like the Sims, but in real life.
I would never leave my house. even less than I do now.
Oh, see, maybe it's... I don't know. See, maybe this is your new calling. Yeah. Maybe you are a video game, you know, savant, and you have no idea.
Oh, I can tell you that I'm not. I spent like 3 minutes walking into a wall in the last video game I tried to play before Animal Crossing. I was like, where am I? Then they took the remote away from me.
Anybody can learn.
That just wasn't your platform.
Wasn't my day.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just move you to another console, another type of game. Just we'll find something to keep you locked up in your house, and you can play video games forever and be the unhealthiest person in the world.
I'm already working on it.
There you go. You can be like Cartman in his World of Warcraft episode.
Man, we're in the toilet.
Exactly. So, Alex, you said you were born with a controller in hand. What actually, what was your first video game? What got you into video games?
So, actually, the first video game I ever played was, of course, one of the most influential of all time. It was that Super Mario Bros. Game.
I haven't heard of that. What is that?
So...
I'm just kidding.
I was like, whoa, really? But, yeah, my first experience was hopping along as Mario and stomping on those weird little mushroom people.
Excellent. Little Koopas?
Little Koopas, Goombas, all the sorts of, the Lakitus. They got weird names.
Sounds like
but,
porn.
I played that. I played that
awkward?
As part of a... it's weird because if you go online and look up Super Mario, of course you're going to find so much porn.
What?
I'm not even kidding.
There's porn for everything.
I mean, okay. I don't want to know anymore.
It's not even Mario. It's like you get the Goombas in there and things get weird.
Things are always weird.
Especially this year.
Yeah. Honestly, though, don't go look up any of it because you will never hear that the coin sound. You know, when he pops up and hits a little triangle, gets a coin, like the bang, bang, bang. You'll never look at that sound the same way again.
You've seen that one.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
One up.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, so Mario Brothers, super influential.
Oh, yeah, and it was part of a little pack of Mario games that were put together. My uncle was big into video games, and I would spend a lot of time with him growing up. So I would end up playing these packs, and I actually found my all-time favorite game, Yoshi's Island, in one of those packs, and that's just like a sort of an iteration on the whole Mario thing. You're just hopping along through levels and stuff, but the thing was about Yoshi's Island is that each level was super unique. You'd get all these different worlds and different soundtracks. You'd go underground and you'd have music that was inspired by Christmas and stuff like that. And it was sort of when I realized that video games were just kind of these little portals into other worlds that you could sort of lose yourself in for a while and just think about them from time to time. They'd inspire you later on in life.
That's awesome.
That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard about video games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, trust me. I could come up with so many more beautiful things.
Start a blog.
Excellent.
I'll read it.
We're going to have you write a special video game haiku that we will post on the website. And you could share with everybody else.
That'll go on the promotion page. Since you got nothing else to promote, I'll just write a haiku for you guys.
There you go.
Brilliant. Done.
So knowing that you've tried all of these games, all of these systems, if you were going to recommend a game... or system, let's say a game, to our listeners, to maybe our old lady listeners like myself, what would you suggest?
If I were to suggest a video game for someone who's not really played very many video games before, it's funny because you already mentioned it. It was that Animal Crossing game.
Good game.
Oh, absolutely. So Animal Crossing is just sort of this experience where throughout the years, every single iteration of Animal Crossing, you entered a town. Quote-unquote called Animal Crossing, but you're allowed to name the town whatever you want. And you sort of build the town up from there. You enter the town with nothing, not even a house, but every single time there's this little raccoon fella, Tom Nook, and he will offer you a house and basically force you into debt.
Yeah,
but...
big debt, too.
Oh, yeah, he forces you into debt, but here's the thing about Tom, good old Tom, is that there's no interest on his debt. So
True.
You may be stuck there for life, but you're not going to be paying more than you originally owed.
Yeah, it's only 2 million bells. Why are you complaining?
Yeah.
No, the only thing that's really stressful on Animal Crossing is when you're diving for a squid. It's a little stressful.
Honestly, when you're under the water, and you're not sure if you're going to come up with another batch of sea grapes or that squid you've been looking for the past 2 hours.
Right? Fucking kelp and sea grapes and slugs and stars.
I don't need any more of that. I've already had the owl tell me about all these weird things.
Yeah, give me the new stuff.
So as somebody who hasn't played this yet, because Jennifer's eyeballs deep in it, and but I have yet to play this game. So it's a similar to The Sims, just a little more fanciful, I guess, with talking raccoons and whatnot.
Well, the way I'd describe it is you're sort of moving into a town, and there are all these neighbors that are kind of living in the same town as you, and you can go and talk to them every day, do chores for them every day. Make friends, and occasionally they'll give you gifts, and you can give them gifts, and as you get deeper into the game, you sort of unlock more and more things to customize your home with. So, say you'll find furniture that you can place into your various rooms and sort of arrange your perfect little house. You'll find money that you can use to upgrade your house or upgrade the town.
You just find money?
Yeah.
So the weird thing is about the money in Animal Crossing is it seems to grow on trees.
So then could I have like a whole orchard of money trees?
No, you don't know which ones are going to give you money and which ones are going to give you bees.
Oh.
But here's the thing, though.
Bees. Is...
There's risk.
There is a risk versus reward because sometimes you'll be shaking a tree looking for money and a wasp will literally land in your eyeball.
Yeah. Better have your medicine on you.
That sounds like everyday life. You never know. You shake the wrong tree, you get an eyeball full of wasp.
So there are all these different types of ways to make money in Animal Crossing. You can sell the furniture you find. You can gather the bells. Oh, yeah. The currency is called bells, by the way. And they're like these little jingly golden coins.
Ooh.
But, right? You can gather them through various means. You can do little odd jobs for the villagers around town. You can sell things that you find. You have fruit trees that you can gather the fruit off of and sell them to Tom Nook. The more I realize, the more I think about it, Tom Nook is sort of the center of that entire world. Without him, we would all fall, so praise Tom Nook.
All hail Nook.
See, that's why he wants you in debt. It's because he wants the praise. He wants the people.
But if you invest the time, you can get out of debt, you know, do a lot of diving, fishing.
Yeah, but by that time, you've already built a house, you've established roots. You're not going anywhere. You're still praising Tom Nook.
Yeah, I've got six million bells from fishing.
I've heard a theory that bells are not actually that world's real currency, and they're just a fake currency that he made up. Because he gets you to live on his island, and you sell him fruit and fish off his tropical island, and he ships that. And he makes real money overseas, and he's just keeping you as, like, labor on this island.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
It's like Willy Wonka with his Oompa Loompas. He just he pays them in chocolate, and they're happy.
Yeah.
Oompa. And I mean, to say that bells aren't keeping us happy just like the Oompa Loompas here on this tropical island.
Oh, see, I think I just took the blue pill.
What if you were an Oompa Loompa playing Animal Crossing?
Oh my god, you're adding layers to this that I don't think we should add.
Yeah, I think you're getting dangerous. We're going to get shut down. We're getting too close.
Ears are smoke shooting out.
So, for somebody who likes to blow some shit up. I'm a fan of shooting games and I'm a fan of like race car games. What do you got for me?
Well, let's see. When it comes to shooting games, we, of course, got the classic Call of Duty, which you get pretty much every 2 years, I feel like. But it is actually a good game. I kind of fell out of shooters myself for a while, but every time I peek in to see what's going on in Call of Duty, it's bigger and brighter and crazier, and it actually looks like a lot of fun. I was thinking about getting into this latest iteration. Because they've joined into the whole craze of Battle Royale, if you've heard about that.
Feel free to expound, just for folks who haven't.
So, Battle Royale is a game mode based on, it's an old, I think, Japanese movie, where a bunch of kids in a Japanese town all got together and they fought to the death until there was only one left. Think Hunger Games, but in video game form.
Sure. So, they do it in wrestling.
They do it in wrestling. What are those matches called?
Battle Royales.
Well, there you go. So battle royale.
Only one shall be left standing.
But yeah, so battle royale is a thing that video games do now, and the Call of Duty battle royale seems pretty fun. Everybody jumps out of planes, parachutes to the ground, and they're either solo or they're in teams. And the map is a huge town / complex / I'm not even sure. It's just huge and pretty looking. And you're supposed to find yourself equipment and stuff that you use while you're going around and trying to shoot people to be the last one standing.
I haven't figured out why they haven't upgraded Animal Crossing to do the first person shooting as well.
Oh my God, Animal Crossing Battle Royale. And your only goal is to be the last one living besides Tom Nook.
I feel like this is just going to turn into Lord of the Flies. There's going to be like little raccoon heads hanging off of trees and stuff. And I don't know. This seems like it could just end horribly.
Timmy and Tommy were the first to go. They were not strong enough.
Exactly.
Always fucking repeating the other guy.
Other guy.
That's not funny to you because you don't play.
Oh, sorry.
It's an Animal Crossing in joke. Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. So it seems, though, that even out of all these video games, even though you're playing them at home, the draw is the fact that you can still interact with other people. Right. So because that was the draw for people to play board games, for example, like even way back before video games. The draw was like, oh, hey, look, here's a game where we can socialize. We can learn a little something. We can be interactive. You get to make choices and, you know, kind of control your own destiny, if you will, even if it was just in, you know, Monopoly or Parcheesi or whatever you're playing. Right.
Yeah. So I've actually got a group of friends that I get together with on the regular, and we jump into all these different multiplayer games. One that we've been playing a whole bunch recently, where it's kind of that whole control your own fate thing, would be Divinity Original Sin 2. It's a very advanced sort of RPG, kind of descended from those old RPGs like Final Fantasy and stuff like that.
For the folks that don't know, RPG is role-playing game.
Oh, yeah, role-playing game. You get to take on the role of characters, sort of become them, and then through them make choices that affect the world around you. Divinity Original Sin 2 is unique in the fact that it's very close to Dungeons & Dragons, which is a whole other nerd thing that I'm sure you're going to have a guest for eventually. But
I would be surprised if we didn't.
But basically, you just sort of have this freedom to go through this world, and you can make choices to solve the issues that pop up in the game based on your character's stats. So say you're a really strong man, and there's somebody standing in the doorway stopping you from getting through the doorway. You're a strong man, so why not just punch him in the jaw and knock him out so you can walk straight through? Oh, but hey, the door's locked. Do you have a rogue in your party? Then maybe they can picklock it for you. Do you have two strong men? Maybe get the second strong man to punch the door. And door goes down. So it's just sort of that sort of problem-solving system. And all the while, you're gathering loot and rewards to make your character stronger and more unique. And it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I feel like it's one of those, you know, choose-your-own-adventure book things.
Yeah.
But in a more immediate, interactive way.
Way more fun.
Yeah, exactly.
There's only so many adventures you can choose. I read the book through, so I know. I'm that kind of person.
But there's so many books. Much like there are so many games that we can play.
So true.
Oh, yeah. The amount of games are growing from day to day. Anybody can make a video game now. So you go on to a game sharing platform like Steam online, and you look in the store, and every day there's something new. Not always amazing, but definitely something to look at.
Right on. Well, yeah, I mean, and people are playing games on their phones, and, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, Candy Crush was huge for a while. You still can't go wrong with Tetris, Bejeweled.
You can go wrong with Tetris. If you play too long, then the entire world just looks like Tetris, and you're trying to fit stuff into other stuff. And
Which actually proves to be a very useful life skill.
If you're in a position where you need to do that, yeah. If not, you're just trying to shove how many double cheeseburgers from McDonald's can I shove into my pockets? Oh, wait, that's something else.
But, no, but see, but that is a useful life skill. You know, how can I stuff this stuff into my pocket so I can sneak into a movie theater and people not recognize that I have an entire bag of chips and a jar of guacamole?
Use a purse.
Use a purse.
How can I Tetris these burgers into my stomach so that I don't have indigestion later?
Oh, that's a no-go. I mean, that's one comes with the other.
But it's worth every gurgle.
Oh, no.
How do you think video games can get bigger and better than they already are?
When I look at the game industry now, I think they're already on the right path. They're just making all these different video game experiences more and more interactable, more and more immersive. Changing the actual hardware is a big part of it, because games have sort of hit a plateau in how good they can look and how well they can play. Mm-hmm. But controllers themselves gaining new features like that trigger thing I was talking about earlier, where it gets harder to press down based on what your character is doing. That sort of stuff is what's really going to change video games around and make them even more insane. VR going the way that it is, getting better and better and less connected to wires that you're getting all tangled up on, not needing certain super expensive setups in your room to be able to play. That is what's going to put video games forward into the next level, because we're already at sort of just the tippy top of how good they can look.
Yeah, so if our listeners want to send in their virtual reality, we will definitely try it for you guys. We're in for that. We got you.
I am more than happy to be a guinea pig.
Yeah.
They're making VR more and more affordable. I know the latest sort of introductory VR sets, the Oculus Quest 2, which just released, and that's only, well, quote-unquote, only $400, but you don't need any expensive PCs or anything. You just slip it onto your head and you're good to go, no matter where you are.
Well, I'm sure over time that stuff will come down in price, you know, considering that, you know, computers used to be the size of rooms and, you know, cost thousands of dollars. And now, you know, everybody's walking around with a fantastically high-functioning computer in their pocket that we just all immediately throw on the floor. So
and take for granted the fact that we have calculators and search engines and the entire world's load of information at our fingertips.
Everything that teachers told us we wouldn't have when we were in school.
Exactly.
Hey, yeah. Guys, you can go fuck yourself.
Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm friends with some of my teachers on Facebook, so.
I mean, that's cool. I just don't remember any of my teachers, so whatever.
Okay. Remember, Facebook is part of your life forever.
I'm not on Facebook.
Hey, me neither.
Do you have games that you like to play with particular people, siblings or family, friends, versus a game you maybe want to play on your own?
I mean, he did talk about the group RPG game he's playing.
Yeah, and actually there's another game that I play with that same group of friends. There's a really cool game called Eco, which is a great example of how they can use video games as more than just entertainment. Eco is sort of a Minecraft-esque sort of thing, where you're going through the world and using materials to craft other items and all that, and you get stronger and stronger items as you go along. But the catch of Eco is that every single one of the people that are playing sort of have to take their own niche. There are skills that you can sort of level up in, and you can make more and more advanced stuff, but you do not have the capability of skilling into all of them. So say your friend skills into carpentry, so they can easily make the wood that you need to build your house in game and the furniture to sort of decorate the inside. But you skill into cooking, so you can actually feed them, that keeps them going, so they can continue to make the furniture and the house wood and the stuff like that. And everybody takes on their own role to advance through technology in the game.
Much like in society, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, you can have one person who's decent at a whole bunch of things, or you get a whole bunch of people who are really good at what they do.
Seems like these RPGs are pretty much just better things than 2020, like better situations. You've been attacked by a troll lord. That's fine.
And much like 2020, this world in Eco, you actually have to protect it by looking after the environment. Otherwise, things start to go to shit.
So this game is better than humans, basically.
Yeah, basically just better than humans in general.
Or it's trying to teach its players how to be better human beings.
Yeah, because if you chop down too many trees in the game, then you'll start to deforest areas. Animals won't have places to graze, and you won't be able to hunt them for food. You get rid of the trees that are eating up the carbon dioxide, and then suddenly you get sea levels rising. They destroy all your buildings on the shore. And the main pull of the game is that in 30 real days, you are supposed to work with your friends to advance to the point of technology where you can sort of blow up a meteor that's going to hit the Earth in 30 days.
Holy cow, stress.
Yep, and the meteor constantly flies overhead to sort of remind you what your goal is. And
don't forget about me.
Don't forget about me. I'll be destroying everything you love in. And if you look at it, it gives you a countdown. 28 days and 4 hours.
Armageddon's coming. You better get your shit together.
And if you don't manage to get to the point where you destroy this thing in time, then it crashes down and makes the planet completely uninhabitable. So
is that like game over, try again?
Yep, that's game over, try again. You didn't do things right.
That's super inconvenient.
But the way they're playing this game is I've seen you can buy a pack of 300 and then get an entire school to log into one server to try to work together and stop this meteor from hitting the ground. And I hear they're using it in like science and social studies classes to show how little mini governments work and how the ecosystem can be saved and all that. And it seems like a pretty cool way to use video games.
Right, I like it, but also way to stoke children's fears there.
About the giant meteor that...
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, I was looking at more of the, like, how brilliant is that to use something that is fun and engaging and, you know, I would much rather have learned science and, you know, e-commerce and, well, I guess just commerce in general through play than, you know, sitting there having to read a book about it.
What was the one? Oregon Trail? Yeah, that's what we played. You have died from diphtheria.
You have dysentery. Good luck.
You have dysentery, and then you wake up the next morning and you still have dysentery and your family's dead.
Yeah. Three of your family members have died. Hurry, replace them.
And you broke an axe wheel. God damn it.
Yeah. Nothing what good ever happened there.
Are you going to hunt or are you going to succumb to the depression that your dead family has brought upon you?
Right. I'm going hunting.
Hopefully I'll get eaten.
That's pretty fantastic, though. That video game sounds super intriguing.
Oh, yeah. There's a video game for everything these days. You ask me about a genre and I'll probably be able to find a video game in it for you.
Simulation.
We've got Farming Simulator. One comes out every year, and you get to be a farmer, and every single aspect is true to life when it comes to farming.
I actually
if you like
saw
farming.
It. Yeah, I actually saw that.
Yep.
My son was playing that game when we went up to visit him. He was playing it, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? And then he was shopping, and there was a manure spreader, and I was like, oh, shit, they got you on there. You can buy it. Talking your shit. I don't know if he laughed or he was like, fuck you, but... Either way.
Well, I mean, that's how they're teaching pilots and stuff. Because mm-hmm. you can go online and you can take, 747 airplane simulators and learn to fly, you know, commercial jets.
Yeah, actually, Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 released not too long ago. And it is pretty insane the level of detail that has gone into that game. It's connected to the internet, so when you're flying, you could literally, if you wanted to, fly around the entire world in that game. And if you look down, it's got accurate representations of your neighborhoods and cities and stuff. Like, if you hopped into that game right now, you could probably go fly into your house.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to bring up tender subjects, but the folks for 9/11 that hit the World Trade Center and stuff, besides having an actual pilot's license, they used these training videos to learn how to fly the planes they commandeered.
Oh, goodness.
So, please use video games for good purposes and not nefarious ones. But, like you said, the level of detail involves them and is fantastic.
Everything I do is nefarious.
Evil and nefarious, as taught by Tom Nook.
All hail Tom Nook.
All hail Tom Nook.
Timmy and Tommy.
Timmy and Tommy are just, you know, they're just entry-level cultists.
I have this blue fox on my island, and she's such a bitch, and I want her to go away. And I didn't talk to her at all. And then I accidentally talked to her on Halloween. I was like, fuck. She's like, why won't you talk to me? Because I want you to leave, bitch. She's the only one who hasn't asked me if she should leave yet. And it's really stressing me out.
She's just not taking the hint?
No, she won't go. I've tried to put a fence around her house, but she got out.
You know how those foxes are when it comes to fences.
Right? Bitch.
What you need to do is get a good chicken villager into the island, and then, you know, when the inevitable happens, you can arrest her and send her away.
I do have a chicken villager. I have he's a rooster named Ken, and he told me that you can't hear anybody scream from his basement. It was quite disturbing.
Jeez, well, keep an eye on Ken.
Right?
I don't know who's more dangerous.
Which is worse, the chicken or the fox?
There's some crazy shit going on my island.
You'll get the weirdest situations. Do you have one of those villagers that constantly tells you about the bugs in their walls?
No.
I'm telling you, I've got a villager, what's his name? Hoppington or something. But he's a blue bunny, and all he talks about are the bugs that live inside of his walls, the bugs that are in his floors, how his bugs will be happy about the new gift I've given him. It's just nothing but bugs.
Well, I have a meth mouse. I can't remember his name, but he runs around constantly. I have to look it up.
What makes him methy?
He runs constantly.
Oh.
He'll never stop.
Oh, he's so got like, too he's much on, energy. Like he's on speed.
Yeah.
You know who else loves Animal Crossing? Our sponsor.
Do you have a lot of weird theater stuff that needs a new home, and you prefer it doesn't just go into the dumpster? Reset likes the weird stuff. With ResetYourSet.com, you can find listings to buy, sell, and rent items that folks in the industry will truly appreciate. Go find them on Instagram, Facebook, at
Leroy Jenkins. So in your years of playing video games, did you ever find anybody who, criticized you for doing it or thought less of you for just being into video games?
Yeah, actually. Luckily, since video games have gotten so big over time, criticism is not very common. But it has shown up mostly in the form of older family members who sort of look at me and say, hey, you're wasting a lot of time sitting at those screens. And then they eventually learn about how much money I spent on video games. And, the conversation only goes downhill from there. But, everybody's got to find their entertainment and nothing use that, their time.
Right. Nothing that makes you happy is a waste of time, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, ways to calm down and chill out so that you can continue to do the hard work at your job or anything like that.
Yeah.
That's definitely not a waste of time. But I will admit maybe I've spent a bit too much money on it.
Well, that happens with anybody's passions and hobbies, you know.
If you didn't spend too much on it, would you really be a nerd?
Touche.
Exactly.
Well, and you could always counter with the fact that video games do help increase short-term memory, long-term memory. They are different ways to socially interact. You know, like you said, you have lots of friends. You can have friends in other countries, mm-hmm. and you're playing games simultaneously, as opposed to necessarily going out. Or if you're playing the Wii,
mm-hmm.
They have games that make you get up and move around and, like, physically do things.
I think it's called the Wiiniverse.
The Wiiniverse. and I know, about a decade ago, Dance Dance Revolution was a very popular game.
That's my jam.
If nobody's ever played that, you get this pad on the ground that looks like a big controller, and you basically step on the different objects to then correlate to music on the screen. And people were talking about how much weight they were losing, how much more confidence they had in themselves, learning hand-eye coordination, all those wonderful things that without those video games they would not have done.
Mm-hmm. For sure, there's lots of good things.
Oh, sure.
Pros, cons, mm-hmm.
But yeah, video games are not just sitting down in front of a screen anymore. You can actually get one of those VR headsets or play some DDR, get up and actually get moving, lose some weight, have some really cool experiences, and it's always changing from year to year, so I'm sure at some point we'll be able to enter the Hypercube room and lose ourselves for centuries.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Like, yeah, ever since I first saw the holodeck on Star Trek, I was just like, I can't wait until this is a thing. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. And basically, in the holodeck, we'll be free.
Yes. My heart is pounding. This is fantastic.
We're already almost there. VR chat is basically the holodeck. Enter and become whatever you want.
I like it.
Just be worried about who walks in on you.
Awkward.
So considering that you had to deal with people being jerks to you for playing games or spending money on them, what kind of advice do you have for people, for your fellow nerds? Let's just go all the way.
Well, for my fellow video game nerds, a couple of bits of advice that I'd hand to my fellow video game folks would probably be, don't let people judge you for what you play. Enjoy exactly what you like to enjoy. It's your free time, your money. You're allowed to spend it however you like. Don't get stuck behind a wall of quote-unquote internet disapproval. For some of the most fun things are stuck behind just people criticizing it for the dumbest reasons, like Five Nights at Freddy's or Undertale or Fortnite. Popular games are popular for a reason. They're pretty fun. They're good experiences, and you just got people shitting on them for no good reason, to be honest.
Haters are gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate. But dip your toes into every sort of experience and find what's the most fun for you, and from there you'll just sort of grow your video game repertoire and become a master like me.
Yes!
You can all dream to become such. Well, we ask everyone a final question, and that question is, what is your guilty pleasure?
I like to look up super sad stuff online in the middle of the night, grab some unhealthy snacks, and stuff my face and cry myself to sleep.
That sounds like what the rest of my night's going to be tonight.
After having to listen to me.
Aw, so not true. Honestly, this just really makes me want to go out and buy a Switch and play a whole bunch of Animal Crossing. So I think they should...
You did it!
Yeah, so I think that they should, I don't know, make you a spokesman or something.
Oh, well, thank you. I'd love to be Nintendo's spokesman so I can
have lots
convince
of money.
More people to play Animal Crossing and nothing but Animal Crossing.
You can come to my island. That sounds Excellent. So dirty.
The island of Dr. Moreau?
Come to my island. I promise Tom Nook will only take a little of your blood. Well, thank you very much for having me on. It was a lot of fun being part of this.
Well, thank you for being on. And what I had heard was, we are out of time.
Visit our website at wihhw.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, see guest links and information, and some fancy extras. Also, check us out on Facebook at What I Had Heard Was, and Instagram at What I Had Heard. And if you really want to get something off your chest, shoot us an email at whatihadheardwas@gmail.com.